Welcome, this is Christopher Holmes, and this is Zero Point Radio. My background is as a clinical and forensic psychologist, as well as a mystic and occult scholar and scientist. In these shows, I try to expound an alternate model of the nature and structure of human existence and the nature and structure of the world. And this teaching is based on a synthesis of different esoteric teachings in the world's religions and occult literature. So, most importantly, I consider what is the nature of human consciousness. And in psychology and science today, the issue of consciousness is regarded as the biggest unresolved enigma. And there's all a diversity of different perspectives on what is consciousness. And people use the word in all different kinds of ways, contradictory and exclusive of each other. So this whole issue is, what is human consciousness? What is meant by this? And related to this issue is, what is the nature of the human spirit and soul? What is a soul? People talk about, do you believe all the religions espouse the idea that we have some kind of soul nature, and that a human being is not simply a material biological being, but somehow is ensouled by deeper life forces, which ultimately people might identify with God or the Absolute or Allah or the realms of Ein and Ein Sof and Ein Sof Auer in Kabbalah and other ultimate life source, Parabrahman in the Vedic tradition. So the idea in mystical spiritual teachings, in a sense, is that life and consciousness come into a human being out of higher dimensions of space. In a sense, there is some form of self or living entity which inhabits the material body. But the soul is not produced by the body, nor a function of the body. Instead, the soul inhabits the body as the life entity and the source of consciousness within that living being. And this soul, and in a way, there's three levels to a human being. There's four other ways of looking at it, but often in Christian tradition, you talk about the body, mind, and soul, or you talk about the body, soul, and spirit. Now, as I understand it, in a sense, the body, firstly, is the material nature of a human being. And above that, we have the spirit, which is the spiritual nature of a human being. And in a way, the soul nature exists between the body below, the material nature, and the spirit above. And that spirit is related to spiritual intelligences and our spiritual nature. So the soul is caught between the body below and the spirit above. And the soul in all the mystical literature is connected to your heart. Okay, the heart and soul. And in all the esoteric teachings of Christianity, Judaism, in the Quran, in the teachings of the Dalai Lama, in the secret doctrine of Blavatsky, and elsewhere, a human being's essential self, or I, is really associated with the higher dimensional physics of the human heart. That the heart in the human being is not simply a pump, material pump, pumping, circulating blood through the organism, but that the heart is how, it is through the dynamics of a heart that a human being is ensouled by spirit above. That a human being is, the spirit is brought down and a human being is ensouled through the mechanism of the heart. And there's a whole enigma in modern science about the generation of the heartbeat. No one can explain how the heart generates the electrical impulses, which are the basis of your life and consciousness in the body. the pacemakers seem to work on their own as though there's a higher dimensional physics to them, which I would say that there is. And to understand those enigmas, it takes you into understanding questions in physics about the nature of space and the nature of ethers and the nature of higher dimensions. So what I'm trying to argue in psychology today is that the whole mainstream of psychology has a completely false understanding of the nature of human consciousness. And that is the belief that I call the head doctrine. The belief in science that the human brain in the head produces human consciousness. That somehow the consciousness is a function of the cortex or the brainstem or some aspect of the brain integration. But most scientists within the whole of mainstream psychology and also in the New Age movement, which focuses more on the mind in the head than on the deeper self within the heart. So I'm saying this whole modern idea the brain produces consciousness is a complete falsity. And it's only because of a lack of spiritual knowledge that we have this false understanding of what consciousness is and what a human being is. Psychology today and science, they don't think that a human being has an I, like an I. Okay, imagine writing the letter I. Like, what that suggests is that there's some living entity or I in you. In yogic teachings, you might call it the jiva atma, the individual self. Or in Blavatsky, it's the monad. In Sufism, Sufis believe that there's a divine spark within the human heart. Aleister Crowley, in his teachings of magic, associates the divine element within the heart, within the human being. The point source, hadit. He talks about hadit within nui, the divine spark within the emptiness of nui. Nui is the ether of space. So Crowley says the nature of human consciousness is like a divine spark within the seven-dimensional ethers of nui. This is his mystical conception of consciousness. Crowley once says, nothingness with twinkles. Okay, so the psychology I explore in my books and through my radio show and elsewhere, it's my own personal efforts as a scientist and psychologist and a human being out here to try to understand these mysteries of self. Because the mystics say, know thyself and thou wilt know the universe and the gods. And this suggests that if we really understood what we were in our being, it would somehow enable us to experience the world and God in a wholly transformed way. That there are higher states of consciousness and being realization available to human beings. And we have to attain to the awakening of the heart and then the awakening of higher centers through the system of seven chakras within the human being. That there's a science to the heart. So I, through these programs, try to explain some of the psychology of the heart and what is consciousness and what is the soul and the spirit and the nature of space and the studies of quantum physics and creation physics, how our universe itself appeared from a point source out of the quantum vacuum. Just like Crowley talks about hadit and nui, the point source within the space. Similarly, modern scientists believe our universe emerged from a point out of the nothingness of the quantum vacuum, which isn't really simply a nothingness, but is a plenum void. It's a mystical plenum void, which is talked about in the different religions of the world. Even in the book of Genesis, it says, in the beginning, the earth was empty and void. And then the Spirit of God moves across the face of the waters. The Spirit of God is symbolized by an upward-turned triangle, and the face of the waters is represented by a downward-turned triangle. Those two triangles in magic represent spirit and water. They're the primary elements. and you overlap those and you have the Seal of Solomon or the Star of David, the mystical symbol depicting the interaction of the Spirit of God moving across the face of the waters. And God says, let there be light, and there's a point of creation, there's a line of light descends into the void, and that begins the process of creation. So these concepts, even from the Bible, are consistent with ideas in modern physics. So through this program, we explore these issues of psychology and science and mysticism and such. Okay, so that's a little kind of opening discussion of science. My website is at www.zeropoint.ca. I invite people to view my work. I've been making efforts to edit and put some new pictures up on my site lately, and I'll do some more work on it. Okay, so I wanted to also, before I forget, thank Dr. K, who was my guest last week, a gentleman, Islamic Muslim scholar from the U.S. and truth activist. And Dr. K has been on BBS Radio and the other networks over the last while, and a very interesting researcher. And Dr. K, he sent me copies of his two books, which is a real blessing, and I really thank him for that. And I started reading his first one called Wrongly Blamed, and the subtitle, New Information, The Real Truth About 9/11, The London Bombings, and More. And I must say, it's a shocking, shocking kind of book. It kind of draws together all these evidences of these patterns of kind of deception of who the terrorists are and how the Muslims have been explained and how terrorist acts are so against the Islamic and Muslim tradition. I mean, complete violation of basic Muslim tenets of the faith. And you don't kill innocents in terrorist activities. It's not part of the Muslim religion. And so here we have in our world today, this terrible injustice that has been done, the invasion of Muslim lands and murders of millions. It's terrible. And the myth of Arab and Muslim terrorism has been perpetrated through our society. And within Canada, those communities have been suspect and, surveyed and so on. And we've had some members of that community, renditioned to Syria for torture. It's just so that Dr. K's book, Wrongly Blamed, it really kind of brings it together. And it's a scary book. It's scary to realize what's happening in our world. I thank him for that book, and I'm going to read that. And Dr. K's second book he sent me is called The Magnificent Message, absolutely beautiful copy of a modern translation of the Quran. And I hardly know myself and very little about the Muslim faith, and it certainly inspires me to read it. I honor the different traditions and see no animosity between the esoteric side of different religions. I find at times I can be illuminated by Christian teachings or Kabbalistic teachings or Judaic teachings or Vedic teachings. And these sacred teachings contain so much in common with each other. So I hope also over the next month or so to read through the Magnificent Message and then have Dr. K back when we can explore some of the mystical aspect of the Muslim faith and the Quran. So thank you, Dr. K, very much for those books. Okay, so we got an hour and 45 minutes. It's so nice, BBS Radio. There's no commercials on this show in a way that's so nice. I find often in other radio shows and such, it's so broken up through commercials and such, and yet on this show we have such uninterrupted times, I hope. Okay, Jim, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, sorry, Jim. I just heard the phone click. I wasn't sure. Welcome, James Moffitt, co-host of the show. How are you, Jim?
I'm well. How are you?
Okay. Any thoughts on my opening comments, or?
I was interested to hear what you said. Your discussion of the soul, how it stands between the spirit and the body. It's interesting because I've never heard you actually present it in that way before. That's kind of an interesting distinction in fourth way terms, Gurdjieff terms. You know, he says that the soul has to be completed, that people don't have a permanent soul. So it, in a sense, that's the struggle between the evolution of the soul or the involution of the soul. So we can ascend to spirit, or we can descend into the material plane and not be completed. And so that's an interesting.
Yeah, the whole idea, is that we have to acquire our souls in a way, like to crystallize them.
Yeah.
And in a way we can become soulless creatures and feed the lower levels of the ray of creation. Okay, so, let me just pause for a moment. And who is it that's become available? Hello, Matthew or Tyrone?
Tyrone.
Yeah, hi, sorry. Tyrone. Okay, I'll just hold on, Tyrone, and we'll pick up with you in a moment. So what were we talking about, Jim?
Oh, about the soul and this distinction about the soul as
yeah, and how the soul connects spirit to the material.
Yeah.
See, that, you know, when I draw a zero point and I show it as what's called a light cone, which
right.
is like a time, what's that image called? It's also like a time thing, where when you have what are those little things called that measure time?
Yeah, like a vector or
No, a little gadget. You have an egg timer. It's a little
An
hourglass,
yeah.
Right. That basic shape is
okay.
also the basic shape of what's called a light cone in physics. So that shape has like a realm above, and then it has a zero point center,
right.
and then it has a realm below, and that's a light cone. And see, it's the spirit is in the realm above, and the influence of spirit, according to Blavatsky's secret doctrine, are brought down by this special entity. She calls it Fohat. Fohat embodies or carries the influence of the spiritual mind intelligence, and that is energized. So Fohat is the energy principle, and then that brings life into the material body below. So the dynamics of the soul are very connected to the zero-point dimensions of the heart, because that it's through those that we are ensouled as living beings. So that's,
I think in general terms, and I know you want to bring your guest on, but we can come back to this, but just in general terms, I've been thinking more and more about this lately. It is just... It needs to kind of be addressed over and over again, but the idea is in mystical and esoteric teachings is that there's both an involutionary and an evolutionary process, and whereas in modern science we're trying to explain consciousness by how it's generated out of the material processes in the head brain, the mystical and esoteric perspective says that the only reason that modern science is stuck in that with that question in a sense is because it assumes that the universe exists of nothing but matter, which doesn't possess consciousness or any kind of intelligence. It's just everything in the universe is thought to be mechanical. There's no animistic or consciousness or intelligence principles operative in the universe. So the only place for consciousness to arise is from within the material processes of the human body, and more specifically, modern researchers think that it arises out of the brain, but the esoteric perspective provides a completely different framework in the sense that the universe is thought to exist of, like, consciousness is irreducible. Consciousness is a universal property, and somehow consciousness informs that, in the esoteric perspective, it informs by descending through various levels and into human beings, as does the life principle, which you were referring to in terms of the enigmas and mysteries of the generation of the heartbeat and the sinoatrial node in the heart. It's the same with consciousness. Like, consciousness isn't produced in the brain. The brain reflects consciousness or is a receiver for consciousness. In mystical teachings, it's said that the heart is likened to the sun and the brain is likened to the moon, so that the brain actually reflects the light from the heart, just as the moon reflects the light of the sun. So, in a sense, all of modern scientific thinking about consciousness has things backwards. They're looking for the generation of consciousness from the brain, whereas consciousness isn't generated in the brain, but rather the brain is a receptor and is a mechanism for the processing of consciousness and for varieties of consciousness, experiences of consciousness. But that's the difference between the esoteric and the modern scientific perspective, is that in terms of esotericism, science has it backwards.
Yeah, and then it's just so important to us individually in our lives to learn to live in the heart and feel awakened in yourself, in your life, within the heart space, and to learn to live in that consciousness of the heart. And part of that consciousness of the heart, in a way, to me, has led me to kind of this whole political side to my work now, which was never there before 2 years ago when I kind of woke up to the lies of 9/11. I was woken suddenly abruptly and kind of the last period as I've done this, I've had to become more and more political kind of in my shows and in my life and in terms of actually kind of become involved politically. And so I've become a member of the Canadian Action Party, and I'm currently the chairperson for Aboriginal and Native Affairs of the Canadian Action Party. And I also contribute and go out when I can and help out with the Ottawa 9/11 Truth Group, which holds activities in Ottawa on the 11th of every month, as they do in other cities across Canada and the United States. And this continues to be a growing movement, the 9/11 movement. I mean, I was astonished the other day to come upon a Gallup poll saying 86% of Russians considered that 9/11 had been an inside job or that we've been lied to about 9/11. When I was in New Zealand, almost everybody knew it. Like, people all around the world are becoming aware of how much we've been deceived about these events by our government and media. And it's a very terrifying situation, really, our situation today, all the lies and deceptions that we've been subject to. And we're still a threat from these same forces, because these same forces are still in position and power and have other schemes that they want to perpetrate against normal human beings. So we're in a pretty tricky situation. And at the moment today, I'm very pleased to have one young man who I would say has heart, who shows courage to be out there with the Ottawa 9/11 Truth Group, and he puts together their videos documenting their activities on the 11th of each month, and he posts those up on YouTube, and you can find a link to his newest video from my own site at zeropoint.ca. So, Tyrone, thank you for coming on today. Sorry, the timing was a little off or something.
No problem. I'm listening to you guys. It's fascinating stuff, and that's stuff that I'm starting to be aware of, too, is what you guys are talking about, so I found it very interesting, and thanks for the kind words. It does take courage to go out, you know, talk about the truth, especially when that truth is not, you know, being reinforced in the media. And, you know, the whole 9/11 taboo, you know. So, you know, we got to fight against that. And with 9/11 truth, like, I only got into this, like, I was, you know, I guess you would say asleep up until about 2003. Everybody knows where they were on September 11th. Like, I was with my brother. We just got into school. I remember watching a lot of the news media that day. And then you notice, like, just the next day, you know, how the story shifted just a bit, and then just a bit. And then Colin Powell tells us he's going to give us a white paper, you know, just a week later. And so, you know, like everybody, I think, you know, we just, okay, I'll wait for the white paper. I'll see, you know, how they can prove that all this sort of thing. And then next thing, they go to war in Afghanistan, not really telling us why. And then they justify that with the Bin Laden tape. And again, since I didn't know what Bin Laden looked like, and, you know, you probably didn't know what Bin Laden was like too much. We were all fooled by that little tape there. And I only really woke up just when I was on to Florida Midnight Shift and I started getting on the internet, and I came across a documentary as a real news network called Unanswered Questions About 9/11. And it basically had, like, local, not local, but independent researchers that, you know, asking fan unanswered questions about 9/11. They had proof to back everything up. I'm like, whoa, you know, if this information's out there, why is it not in, you know, on TV, on the 6 o'clock news? Why is this not being talked about, you know, daily? And why are we still justifying everything that we're doing, you know, taking away civil liberties, or the wars in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, just, you know, everything these days with 9/11? We got to get taxed for 9/11. We got to protect the homeland. And
it really is, like, it's astonishing. Like, our media has intentionally deceived the Canadian public about these events, the causes of the war in Afghanistan. I mean, it's amazing. It's unbelievable. They're complicit in it. They, you know, it's the corporate media. These have actually become their methods of propaganda and deception. You know, and our media has done that to us as Canadians. I mean, it's outrageous what they've done. And it makes me sick. It makes me sick to see them up there, support your troops. Oh, yeah, yeah, support your troops. Hey, that's what you do. That you support our troops when you tell them lies and have deceived the Canadian public about the causes of war, and you say support your troops.
Exactly.
Are you sick? You know,
it is pretty sick. And you see those banners on the signs, the buses and stuff like that. Now, I support the troops, but you know, you got to support the troops, but you got to know the mission, know what they're doing over there. The only way you can support them here is to be aware of what's going on in the world, so you can make sound judgments and, you know, be aware of the lies that the corporate media is telling you. Like, we had an incident when we went on Remembrance Day. We did a truth action. We went down to the Remembrance Day ceremony, paid respect for the troops, and then we went to A-Channel. And Sandra Blakey, we tried to give her a DVD, you know, try to make people aware of the facts so they can do some honest reporting, try to hold them accountable, you know. And she just blew up in her face is that we were disrespecting the troops and, you know, we shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, that's a lie. That's their absolute lie. Like, my father, in during Second World War, he attended RMC and became a captain in the Canadian military, and he was stationed to London during the war. So my father, you know, he went to RMC, Royal Military College, and he came back and he ran signals. And I grew up in the military home, and my father became eventually a lieutenant colonel. And I have two sons in the Canadian military, one scheduled to go to Afghanistan and one who's going into the other aspects of the military. And I'm outraged as a father. My son thinks he's going. He got mad at me when I protested and said how outraged I was by the Canadian government. And he thinks he's going to Afghanistan to save Canadian democracy. He's going to Afghanistan because the oil cartels and the elites wanted to imperialistically invade another country, dominate it, extract its oil and drugs, have new military bases, and extend their fascist world control system. That's what he's doing. And he thinks he's doing it for Canadians, while he's doing it while the Canadian public has been intentionally deceived. You know, we need to bring our soldiers home or contribute, alter our commitment over there. I mean, I'm not saying that I don't know how we need best to deal with the situation that now exists, but the Canadian people have a right to know the truth of these things, and to think our government has deceived us and hidden the truth of 9/11. These are such serious things, such serious matters. It's unspeakable the sins that have been committed against the Canadian people by our politicians and media and corporate elite. It's astonishing.
And that's why I think, also just with the 9/11 thing, it helps, you know, when you get into 9/11 truth, you realize that the media has been deceiving you. You realize, because you hear everything that they do these days, they justify it by 9/11. I always tell people, listen, I'll stop talking about 9/11 when they stop justifying it by 9/11. And it really opens, you know, awakens you to the deceit of the media, deceit of our public officials. And, you know, I've actually talked to a few of them, Jack Layton, Paul Dewar, Joseph Seth, not Paul Martin. Oh, I just talked to him too. I mean, Paul Dewar. He keeps avoiding me. I gave him a copy of Zero. He told me he watched it, but then he wouldn't comment. He said he was busy with the coalition. You know, how hard is it to just stand up for that 30 seconds and say, I don't believe this. We haven't been told the whole truth. We need to, you know, get to the facts about this. And the Canadian public, you know, with the whole Afghan mission, we have not had an open debate about that. And the reason why they can't have an open debate about that is because they will have to finally examine September 11th, 2001, why the U.S. originally went there and examined that fact, and how our mission stems from, you know, the U.S. going to bomb the Taliban for revenge on September the 11th. It's, yeah, that's why I think 9/11 is important, even 7 years later, because it does awaken people. And people have got to get over the fact that, you know, their governments would never do such a thing, or somebody would have talked. Look at the facts, make up your own mind, because pretty much in every facet of 9/11, the story that we've been told by the media, the 9/11 Commission, is a lie. And
yeah.
There's omissions, distortions, it's everywhere.
Everything. And the whole history of how it's been dealt with just shows you repeatedly, over and over again, all the cover-up and further deception and intentional misinformation and propaganda. I mean, it's all totally consistent.
Yeah, and like the media cover-up, the explanations, they're ridiculous. And we live in a really great time. We live in a time of the Internet. We can access information at our fingertips. Information's all on the Internet. You just got to know who to look up and pretty much you can go find a lecture. I love lectures. You know, then people may find them boring, but I love just, you know, absorbing that information. I try to learn, you know, at least one, two things a day. And when I start to look into, you know, wars of the past, you realize that they all start with a false flag operation.
Yeah.
People like you and myself, people of good heart, we don't want to go to war. We don't want to kill innocent people. But we have to be, you know, basically slapped in the face, told it was those, you know, evil people over there, so we go attack them. That's basically, through my research, how war started throughout the last 100, 200 years, and probably, you know, going back like 2000 years.
I mean, here's a listing of some of the false flag terrorist events I've recently learned of, like the Gulf of Tonkin leading to the Vietnam War, Oklahoma City bombings, London bombings, Madrid bombings, recent incidents, that's another false flag thing, trying to stimulate war between India and Pakistan.
Bomb in a Pakistan hotel. That was a false flag. The Bali bombing, the Toronto 18 here. That's another reason why 9/11 truth is important. We have people in jail today based on a friggin' lie about the Toronto 18. People look into that. Again, it's like another basically false flag operation. Again, bringing the fear of terrorism up here in Canada. I didn't really get involved with 9/11 because, again, I thought it was a U.S. problem. But then, you know, once our truth started going over there, I started seeing, you know, the same things that we see in the U.S. media, where you never see the impact of war, soldiers coming back home dead, you know. We don't see that phase of the war. That's what they learned back in, you know, or China, when, you know, the media showed, or Vietnam, you know, the ugly phase of war, and that's why they got out of the war. And they learned then that they can't do that, and that's why you have embedded reporters where, you know, they're not telling the story of independent. They're telling basically the story that the army or whatever wants to tell.
No, we're not only deceived through our media, but we've also been deceived through the educational system as they've rewritten and obscured things through the educational process. Like they obscure the real history that's now coming out when you watch movies like The Empire of the City or Endgame or movies like this. And you see the role of the elites and the financiers and the masters of war that Dylan sings about. You know, build the jet planes and make money by weapons and weaponizing everybody. I mean, you look at the complicity of the United States in these criminal war crimes against the people of Gaza that have just been perpetrated. You know, Americans do that. They support this Zionist element in Israel that would commit such war crimes. You know, they're American bombs, and the American people pay for it. And they're deceived by their media. It's all so disgraceful and disgusting, in my view. Just as a mystic scientist, breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. I see those poor children, everybody in Gaza, just think how they've been like terrorized by what's been done to them. And what'll become of it? More lies, media lies. I can't believe that, like, humankind has gone insane and people can't see the things that are so obvious. You know, buildings, 100-story buildings don't fall down because they're hit by an airplane that burns for half an hour. It just doesn't happen. Osama bin Laden and his reindeer didn't bring down the towers. Wake up, people.
Yeah, and like the evidence is there. Again, they don't fall on free fall speed. The concrete doesn't get pulverized. You don't have thermite leaking out of the towers. You don't have 1,000-degree temperatures under the World Trade Center 1, 2, and 7, you know, weeks after 9/11. And you have photos and space proving that, and the information, again, is online. And the, you know, the investigation, people say, oh, you know, they already disproved everything with the NIST, with the 9/11 Commission. It's a whitewash. You know, I can write 10,000 pages saying that 2 plus 2 equals 5. I'll write all sorts of fancy formulas proving it to you, and it all looks pretty neat.
Yeah, it's just complete cover-up. It's complete cover-up and lies. It just shows you the further complicity of another level of the corrupted government. That's all it shows you. You know, it's obvious. It's obvious to any half-intelligent person. You only have to be half-intelligent, you know?
Yeah, I'm not a smart guy. I'll be honest. Like, I am not a scientist, but I am able to look at something logically and say, hey, this makes sense, and this is basically a lot of hooey. If you look at the arguments on the 9/11 debunker side, half of that stuff is all slander. It's just nonsensical arguments, not making any point.
No, it's always just innuendo or kind of portray it as foolish or, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, are you?
Yeah,
it's like today in our times. If people don't believe in conspiracies, they're idiots. Because there are conspiracies ongoing right now on your planet, and you're part of it. And if you don't know that, then you are, as a person, are an idiot.
Well, the official...
They're asleep. I just watched a great documentary just the other day. It's you know Michael Panzerian, eh?
Yeah.
Architects of Control. It illustrates basically the people that are in control, and, you know, intentionally dumb this down, and, you know, basically... with the media, it goes into media deception, and yeah, he explains it very well, and I encourage you and your listeners to give that a listen. But that's what's going on every day. You know, we are a part of it. We have to wake up. We have to stand up. We have to start talking about the things that matter, even if it's not on the 6 o'clock news, even if it's not being validated in our media, you know, telling us that this is what's actually happening, but we can see a different story right in front of our eyes, you know. So we got to have those conversations with our friends, with our families, and, you know, we can't be afraid of people, you know, slander, because we get that all the time, you know, on the streets when we go out and hand out DVDs. You know, people tell us to fuck off, whatever. Does that mean that we're going to go back in our shells and go hide? No. Because that attitude is always going to be there. You know, people will fight to keep their matrix, you know?
Yeah, people can't face it, and we can't, you know, those of us who are awake, like, certain people are going to just stay in the sheeple state. Like, they can't accept it, they can't believe it, you know. But those of us who still have life and intelligence in us, we got to realize, yeah, it's true, you know. No matter how uncomfortable, this is true, and we need to face it as a society, because these people at the moment are committing slow kill against us,
yep,
through their chemtrail spraying, the fluoridation of fluoridation of the water, the aspartame. The inoculation programs, these are slow kill methods for the Canadian population, you know, to restrict their access to food supplements and vitamins and holistic methods, the use of the pharmaceutical mafia that's being used to bankrupt the Canadian health system, all these things. They're not only doing these things, the same people who are over there murdering people in Gaza, those same people are involved in 9/11, those same people are spraying us with chemtrails.
They're spraying themselves, though. I mean, that's, you know...
Well, they are. They spray themselves, too.
That's why, like, you got to be careful when you're saying, well, you know, they're aiming at people. It's like, well, that's my kind of question. It's like, they breathe the same air, they drink the same water, you know? I mean, a lot of this stuff is just... I mean, I don't see it as intentionally aimed at people. I see it as intentionally aimed at making money. You know, it's just real simple to me. It's like there's money in it, and that's why they do it. But
illnesses by spraying people. Do you not think that they have to be a psychopath?
There's all sorts of psychopathic things that, you know, that lead to making money. I mean, you know, all sorts of industries that have done that for years and years.
That's a really good point. Yeah, psychopathic corporate.
There's that movie about the corporation, the documentary, which essentially says that corporations are like pathological entities, essentially, you know.
They compare them to the features of psychopaths.
I saw that.
An excellent.
But I mean, the bigger picture is, I mean, well, first of all, conspiracy theory, Barry Zwicker, I think, has the best discussion of that term in his book. Towers of Deception, which I think is really worthwhile reading. It's a very interesting book. But the other thing is about a conspiracy theory is that anybody who uses that term is a moron, basically, because a conspiracy is an activity conducted by two individuals. Conspire means to breed together. So the official version is a conspiracy theory. It's a different conspiracy theory.
That's right.
It's completely moronic to say that. You know.
Yeah.
You're a conspiracy theorist. What are you, a coincidence theorist? I mean,
that's
the reply that you have to have. It's like, yeah, I just believe in a conspiracy. I believe in a different one than you believe in. So
We've been fed a conspiracy theorist.
But the other side is
a theory.
The other side of it is that this has been going on for, you know, about lies and complicity of media and stuff. I mean, this has been going on forever. I mean, if you read James Aronson's book, it's unfortunate. I think this book is out of print. It's called The Press and the Cold War. And it was written in, I think, the mid-70s. And essentially what he does is he addresses the American press's coverage of the Cold War, but also, like, he goes back right to the turn of the century and talks about the misrepresentation of the American press as to what was happening in the Russian Revolution, what was happening in the First World War, how the Korean War started.
All of these things were misled.
Then the Gulf of Tonkin and Vietnam.
Through modern history media have deceived us. They still deceive us about Kennedy. Robert Kennedy,
yeah.
John Kennedy, Martin Luther King, all of these
Harbor.
Things that have been done, we've been deceived about in a consistent way.
In that book by David Ray Griffith, there's a really interesting, the latest one where he has a series of people that he edited, a series of people who contribute essays. There's a really interesting essay, and I don't have access to the book right now, so I can't tell you the name of the writer, but it's about what happened at the end of the Second World War, when NATO left in each of the European nations had these sort of counter, they were worried about the Soviet invasion of these countries, and they had these counter tactics, and which led essentially these plans to combat the Russians if they were to invade these countries, and also to suppress any indigenous communist movement in any of these countries, like, for instance, Italy, which was really, and Greece, both of which were teetering on the brink of being communist countries. And all the false flag operations and black ops that occurred, and this one article specifically dealt with the situation in Italy and how it's been known by all the governments in Italy for the last 25 years, including socialist governments, and they all deny it. Yet, you know, these plans apparently existed in all of these countries and were carried out or enacted in all of these countries, and none of this is ever part of the history of
no, so many things have been hidden to us. The whole patterns of history have been hidden from us intentionally. And 9/11 cover-up is just part of it.
It's part of the bigger, much bigger picture of deception, I would say. And also, the whole discussion, as I've said before in this program, is like, you know, I've been interested in the Kennedy assassination essentially since about 1965 or 66, when it started to be clear that there was perhaps more to this than, and I mean, you still hear the same stupid things 40 years later in the mainstream publications, or Bugliosi's book that's just come out, this mammoth book, you know, which claims that anybody who says that wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald is a conspiracy theorist. He uses that over and over again. Or the mainstream always does, like on the American networks, they always do a program every few years, a documentary, and it's always complete nonsense. You know, the question isn't whether or not Lee Harvey Oswald did it. He didn't. The question is, who did it and why did they do it? You know, it's like, it's a complete misdirection, you know, like,
yeah.
Who cares about that question? You know, it's beyond even discussion. I mean, it's so clear that he didn't do it. So, you know, and this, you know, as a former anti-Vietnam War protester and activist, I mean, I've seen this movie before, you know, like, I mean, it's basically the same thing.
It's funny how, in a way, it's all summarized so easily and so simply by just Bob Dylan's song, Masters of War. Hey, you that build the jet planes, you that build the big bombs, and you hide behind your desks, and, you know, and it's just...
And you hide behind your masks.
It's been there in front of our face for 50 years, but just people just didn't see it because the media has so kind of brainwashed people. And you see the role of Hollywood. Like, you can go to Hollywood, you can make a movie where Americans are kind of big heroes saving the people of Vietnam and stuff like that, and fighting communism, and the American people buy into it, and all their war industries make billions of dollars, they impoverish American society, they murder 2 million Vietnamese, they poison the whole country with Agent Orange and all these things that people are still suffering from. They commit all these war crimes, and that is never dealt with. No one ever deals with the real war criminals in our world.
Well, no, I mean, Christopher Hitchens wrote a whole book about how Henry Kissinger should be indicted as a war criminal.
Yeah.
I've been saying that for 35 years, you know. Like, I mean, yeah, he is. He's a war criminal, definitely.
You want to hear my Kissinger impression to see if this sounds like Kissinger? Okay, please. I try to get it done. It's a tolerance for us to bring about what we need is a new world order. Is that a little bit along his line, Jim? You're good at impressions. Can you do Kissinger bringing about a new world order? He said it before Wall Street last.
Yeah.
He's endorsed it with Barack. And what we have, and what's really scary these days, is the Obama mania that's going on. Like, we have people up here in Canada that revere the guy. And, I even try to just present, the alternative media about Obama, like with Webster Tarpley and what's he saying about, Obama with his two books. Alex Jones, and people don't want to believe it. But, you know, I'm just like, look at the evidence. But there's such an Obama fever that I really worry about what's going to happen in the next 100, 200 days, because Obama can put, you know, a fresh face on America. He redeems them. They couldn't pull off any more false flags with George Bush, Dick Cheney. Everybody hated them. Everybody suspected them. If a McCain was elected, you know, still people would suspect him. But if they pull stuff off now, Obama will be able to sell it. And that's what scares me now, is that they have a new card to play. It's Obama. And you're saying with Hollywood, how many freaking stars came out and endorsed Hollywood and said, we will serve you, Obama, you know? And you see in America, like with his youth brigade, mandatory service, the green project that he wants to go green.
Yeah, all these phony things that they do to, yeah.
Well, It always kills me along those lines. I mean, I've had this discussion the last few days with a few people. Is that, like, you know, my answer about Obama is that he is head of the Democratic Party. I mean, end of story for me. I mean, basically, they represent the same corporate interests. They're not going to do anything about the military-industrial complex. They're not going to do anything about American imperialism. I don't see any fundamental change.
No, he's going to move 20,000 troops into Afghanistan.
He's closing Gitmo, but, I mean, yeah, he thinks the war in Afghanistan is a good idea.
He's on
record of saying that over and over again. But it always kills me is that when Ralph Nader entered the fray again between, Al Gore and Bush that people were saying that, Ralph Nader shouldn't be running for president because Bush and Gore, it's going to skew the vote. And I'm thinking, well, saying that Ralph Nader you shouldn't get into the presidential race against Bush and Gore is a bit like saying that Einstein shouldn't get into physics because my dog and my cat are already there. I mean, you know, like, I mean,
yeah.
It's like, I mean, Nader would actually change something if he was president of the United States. He'd actually,
yeah, like Ron Paul would have.
Yeah, with something
yeah.
He would address it, like some of the fundamental structural issues in the economy and the way things are done. That's why these guys get no credibility, and why the media treats them like pariahs is because they would actually do something different. I mean, I'll give Obama credit. He's closed Gitmo. I couldn't believe
he did that
quickly. Like, good for him. That's
strong. I know. And not only that, Jim, but also other renditioning places in other countries.
Well, that's the problem.
He stopped the torturing. I mean, it's just unbelievable that the United States has stooped so low to be torturing people.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
you see those guys at Guantanamo who kind of confessed to 9/11. You know, they've been tortured enough, they'll confess to anything. You know, one guy will confess, all he wants to do is be hung to get him out of his misery.
Yeah.
You know? And then they're going to try to parade these guys out in front as further evidence that the Muslims did 9/11. Like, what a sick joke.
Just recently, those six guys, just briefly, when they could talk, they basically said, we've been tortured,
yeah.
And they closed it up.
Yeah.
And with the torture camps, it's just a show, dog and pony show. Maybe close that, but they're opening camps in the U.S. They have so many, huge-ass FEMA camps there.
Yeah.
That are for their people, probably for us as well, once we join the North American Union, who knows.
Yeah.
We have our military integrated with NORTHCOM. We have troops. U.S. can patrol our cities. When there's an emergency, we can go in there. So it's getting to the day where people really have to, you know, stop watching Dancing with the Stars, get off the alternative media, and start learning what's going on so we can stop the lies. So, again, it's an embarrassment that it's like seven, eight years later and we don't have the truth about 9/11.
It's disgraceful.
When we have access to the Internet, when all I have to do is send you a link and you can get the gist of it about 9/11. All I have to do is send you a zero, which I gave to Paul Dewart. Can you give me a straight answer? Like, it's
no,
really
I mean, that's what's so threatening also about it. It shows the corruption of the RCMP and CSIS and military intelligence at the highest levels. Like, these people
like,
have...
if I can figure this out, what about our intelligence agencies?
Yeah, where are they?
Media?
Like, we pay billions of dollars for RCMP. I thought RCMP, they always catch their man, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, give me a break. You know, where are the RCMP? Like, whoa. You know, what are these guys doing? They know, you know, they have to know the truth. Are they idiots?
There's this corruption at the top at all the highest levels.
I know, it's so disgraceful.
Structure. But that's why, you know, we got to talk about it. We got to, you know, everybody pretty much knows that 9/11 is a job, but we just
want
to talk to each other about it. And that's what I really like about going out with the Ottawa 9/11 Truth guys, that I can talk to these guys about it. And, you know, actually have good conversations and, you know, be on the same page. Because sometimes, you know, when you're by yourself, sometimes it does get, you know, well, you know, you think you're only the only one. So it's good to get out there, get involved. And I just have some advice for any 9/11 truthers out there, but you cannot change anything online. Forget about arguing with people on forums. Half of them are shills anyway. You'll never convince people online. You have to get on the streets. You have to talk with your friends, with your family. And you can't be afraid to speak truth to power. And that's what I've learned.
There's so much to do online, too, though, because, I mean, there's these excellent radio, like truth radio networks now with so much good programming.
I agree with that. Don't try to argue with people.
No.
People there, they'll never get over. You know, it's just ridiculous. But I've tried that for, like, the first 2 years. Again, that's the first stage of 9/11 truth. You try to convince people online, you know, to try to show people this. But you have to get out there because you can't change people's minds online to really just argue with people.
I find it, like, I try to, as I go about my life, I was in the laundromat the other day, just as an example, and I engaged with two different people. One woman, she had a daughter who's in the military, was up a cook up at Petawawa, now posted out in the East Coast. She knew 9/11 was an inside job. She knew that we've been deceived about it. And then there was another fellow I met there. He's a Canadian. He's in the military. He had just come back from Afghanistan where he was leading a group of eight army engineers and that who go around fixing the water systems for people. Like, really good work, eh? He is doing that. And he knew 9/11 was an inside job and we've been deceived. Like, these people know. They know, but people can't grasp the enormity of the kind of criminality of what's, you know, taken over our society.
They don't realize why it's important to Canada. Like, over here, like, they don't realize that 24 Canadians died on that day. They don't realize that we're losing Canadian soldiers every week. We're up to, like, 109, 110 now. What's it going to take before people care? I said that on the last video. And it's like that with any war. You know, how many does it take before, you know, people finally wake up and say, this is wrong, let's find out, actually. And it's ridiculous that we haven't had a debate about this. You know, war is a last resort. Let's find out the reasons that we are at war right now, why we have troops in harm's way. When I was growing up, I was very proud of Canada in our peacekeeping ways.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah, you know, I just remember this from childhood, like a school principal. You should be proud to be a Canadian because of, you know, what we've done in the past. Again, being honorable soldiers, you know, having a good reputation around the world. And I see that within the last, you know, 5-10 years, that's quickly disappearing. We're in Haiti right now. I still don't quite fully understand why we're over there. But is that ever talked about?
No, well, no, it's not, because they have to hide it. It's all based on lies.
Yeah.
We were taken there because we're supposed to, you know, secure this country from the Taliban, who had attacked America and attacked our freedoms because they didn't like us. And the whole thing was a fraud, complete fraud.
When they created Bin Laden. So, yeah, people got to wake up to this, wake up to the false flag operation, because who knows, we might be hit next. London was hit, you know, after 9/11.
Oh, they're going to do things in America. I believe they're going to do things in America. I believe they have mini nukes in different cities, and they got all kinds of biological weapons. We're in real danger. And they'll blame it. They'll blame it. They'll say the guy from Iran did it. They'll say, I don't know, Mickey Mouse. You know, they make up some tale and tell you lies, and we need to weed out these terrorists within our society. You look up in the sky, these people are spraying you with chemicals. These people are part of a terrorist network. That's warfare.
But I think
in their own documents, but just in their own documents, they say they want to exterminate like 80 or 90% of us. So,
yeah,
you know, we got to be serious.
They're doing it.
I don't believe that, but you know, just to return to the 9/11 question for a second, I think this is a real problem, is that just in my own discussions with people about this, is I find many people feel that if you talk to them, you know, what do you think happened on 9/11, and you start to question the official version, many people will say to you, well, I think that they probably let it happen. But they're quite resistant to the idea that the American government was actively participating or involved in actually doing it. And then there's people like, I gave David Ray Griffin's book, The New Pearl Harbor, to a friend of mine, and he read about half of it, and he said, I can't accept this. And I think people have this, like, and not, he wasn't saying he didn't believe it. He was saying, I can't accept it.
Yeah.
He wasn't talking about it intellectually. He was talking about it emotionally. Because people are so reinforced. And, I mean, it's like the old Goebbels thing, you know, if you tell a lie often enough, people will believe it. I mean, that's the whole premise of all of the media coverage of events and misrepresentations. You just keep telling, it's like Hitler with the big lie. You know, you keep telling the same big lie over and over again, which is the basic premise on which you take certain actions, as Tyrone says. I mean, everything comes from 9/11. Like, all this stuff about suspending civil liberties and about starting wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and about increasing the military budget. You know, I mean, it's all premised on this basic event, which nobody's really properly investigated. Nobody's, you know, officially properly investigated. And yet, I think there's this, like, as I say, now it's 7 years down the road, and I think there's this huge cognitive dissonance. I think people, like, it's hard to square the fact that your government could be such a bunch of criminals. So that's the first part.
It's scary. It's horrible.
It's really, I mean, and it's hard to admit that you've been duped and that, you know, that so many things are so fundamentally wrong. I mean, I think it's very difficult for people to come to terms with that. And, I mean, I'll go back to Kennedy assassination. It's 46 years later. Somebody assassinated the President of the United States. I mean, they killed this guy, and they did it for their own reasons, and it was probably done by elements of the American military and the CIA. That's my own educated guess. I don't know who did it, but I think that's pretty reasonable.
I think it's Mafia and the CIA.
Well, the mafia is involved, but I think more centrally, I think even that's a bit of a dodge. I think it was I used to believe it was the mafia. Now I believe more it was the CIA and the military. But anyway, whatever. In 1978 or 79, when the House Assassinations Committee concluded that there was most likely a conspiracy to assassinate President Kennedy, that's like 30 years ago. What happened? Nothing. You know, nothing.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
And people are still making documentaries saying Lee Harvey Oswald was some sort of nut. So it's like the further time progresses, the greater the dissonance. And I think that's the uphill battle that you face when you try to convince people that, you know, you really should look at this and try to, you know, to try to come to an informed opinion about it. Don't just believe what you've been told. Actually look at it and see for yourself. Like, I have people tell me all the time, about why the buildings fell, as if they're like structural engineers and they understand why the buildings, they're just parroting the official version.
Yeah, I mean, what they've been told.
Yeah,
they're
what
repeated.
They've been told. And they've never read any critique. They've never read about the guy from the National Institute, the underwriter who blew the whistle
Kevin
on them.
Ryan.
Yeah, they've never read about him and they've never read all of the, they've never gone. I tell people to go to patriotsfortruth.org and look at the people that are on there.
Yeah.
Military personnel, airline pilots, research scientists, professors, you know, like people. I was stunned when I went on that website and you start reading it and you read, like, some pilots are like, give me a break, you know, that this official story about how these guys trained on puddle jumpers and then flew these huge aircraft, you know, in these precise maneuvers, and this is preposterous.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, that's what I think that's an incredible site. I really recommend that to people. Go and look at that. Like, look at who doesn't believe the official story.
Yeah,
exactly. And I think we are in a hopeful time because we're living in the internet. You know, we can piece together news clippings and, you know, the fantastic movies that come out pretty much every month.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can just, you know, wake up somebody about, you know, one thing, and then it just expands from there. I find that's why 9/11 Truth is, you get the most bang for your buck for that. It exposes false flag terrorism, it exposes the media cover-up, and it actually shows you, you know, what people are doing now with, like, the We Are Change crew, the 9/11 Truth movement. You know, these are the real patriots, these are the real heroes, you know.
Yeah,
the
people, yeah, people standing up, like, that's how I admire young men like you, Tyrone, and Mark there in Ottawa. Like I say, you guys got heart. Like, here you are. Like, you shouldn't have to be out on the streets trying to bring out the truth and bring about criminal justice in Canada. That, why are you having to do that? Where are our police? Where is our government? You know, it's so outrageous. And you go out and you feel threatened because you want truth in the world. You want the truth to come out. And then you're intimidated and threatened and all these things in our lives, like we are, because we want the truth. You know, it's so disgraceful.
It is disgraceful that it's just based on lies, and people just can't wake up to it, either that they don't want to admit that their worldview is wrong, with they, you know, again, their whole worldview for the last 20, 30 years is incorrect, and it takes a lot to swallow that. Like,
it
I,
does.
Again, a logical guy, if they either A or B, you know, if that, then this, you know, follow computer programming, that's what I used to take.
Yeah.
So you follow that kind of logic, and if you just follow that kind of logic of 9/11, so many holes, again, at every facet. Why didn't NORAD stand down?
The
first responders, they lied about the air quality. And so that is being covered up to this day. And that happened after 9/11. The terror, the drills there, Able Danger, Tripod 2, where, you know, FEMA was actually there the day before preparing for some sort of a biological emergency. And the WTC-7 falls at 6.5 seconds. It wasn't hit by a plane. So, you know, just those things right there, like, that's...
Or it's just such overwhelming evidence. I mean, it's not like there's just one or two pieces of evidence. There's a flood of evidence. You could prove it, I say, but in any impartial court, before any sane judge anywhere in the world at any time. It's so obvious. Like, people can't put it all together, and then it's scary to kind of do that and realize, okay, this is true. This is true. It was an inside job, you know, and the media is intentionally deceiving us. You know, and you see the whole sick pattern. You see how they've covered it up at all these different levels, and you see the people implicated in it. And these people at all these levels, at some point, hopefully, will face justice in some form, and have to deal with the crimes they've committed against people of America, Canada, you know, Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran, the threatening now to kind of bomb Iran next, you know. It's just so disgraceful what's being done in the world, all for Henry Kissinger's world.
Another reason why, again, we haven't gotten the truth yet. Nothing's really been done. Do you remember the first time I met you, Chris, at like the FEP at Peace No War? And I even like then I just started first getting involved. I wasn't really all that, you know, speak the truth of power as I am now. But I remember telling them, listen, you guys also have to tell people that 9/11 is an inside job. But no, you know, nobody at the anti-war movement wanted to talk about that.
That is so important. People don't realize in other movements how we have to become unified. Like, it's all part of the same puzzle. It's all part of the same system. And they create, you know, separation between groups. Why doesn't the peace group, why possibly do they not support the 9/11 truth? It's so obvious. So it makes me suspect of those in it who don't want to embrace it. They why not make the mental effort to look into it and see the truth? We need to come together as
in
groups.
The war movement. Somebody is pretty involved in the Ottawa, and I asked him at like a barbecue or a potluck, and like, you know, this is what I believe in. And he's like, oh yeah, I look into 9/11, but then, you know, he sort of said that it was too much for him to believe in, you know, so he just had to take a step back.
Well, that's his psychological problem. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's too hard to face it.
That's what I was getting at earlier. I think that's a huge problem, is a huge disconnect.
Yeah.
And then as time goes on, I think apathy really is part of the problem too. But I just wanted to mention something. I was just looking on the internet because I can't find the name of this book. I have this book that I bought a while ago. There's been some really interesting new books out on the Kennedy assassination. But this book specifically deals with, and this should inspire all of those in the 9/11 movement, but it deals with the what happened in the aftermath of the Warren Report is really the impetus for to challenge the official version of the Warren Report about the Kennedy assassination didn't come from journalists, and it didn't come from people in government. It came from ordinary, quote-unquote, people like housewives like Sylvia Mahar and Mae Brussels in the States. Mark Lane was an attorney who wrote Rush to Judgment, and that was a very influential book. But Harold Weisberg, who is a researcher, and this book that I was trying to find, which I can't find the name of, is all about these people, these so-called ordinary people who actually, you know, the Warren Commission's 26 volumes. I mean, the 9/11 Commission's like a comic book compared to the Warren Commission. These people studied it, and they started to see all the inconsistencies and to see all the lies and distortions and realize that this isn't an independent investigation. This is something that was purposely directed at finding Lee Harvey Oswald as being the sole person behind the Kennedy assassination, much like the 9/11 Commission wasn't really an investigation
of
what happened. It was just a show trial. It was something, first of all, that Bush and Cheney resisted. It took them 444 days to declare to create a commission,
yeah,
and only because of the efforts of
the
relatives of the people who had died in New York and Washington. And then they basically whitewashed it by having some fart catcher from the White House basically oversee the whole thing. So it was all steered towards.
And they had tried to have Henry Kissinger.
Oh yeah, to be the head
of the committee.
Even that was too much. I was like, oh my God, you know, like what? Hitler wasn't available. So what I'm saying though is that essentially it's the same with the 9/11 truth movement, is that it's not award-winning journalists are out there doing this. It's just ordinary people, you know, people like Tyrone who say, I'm not that bright, but I can see through this, you know.
And he can make good videos. You should
I have seen some of his videos, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to just say about your video, Tyrone, like one aspect that was so cool. How your video opened up, and Mark had called into Jason Burmes at Prison Planet Live TV, and it's so nice how you edited that in there. Mark calling in and edited that into your video. You really do such an excellent job, and I love that you guys, you use those images of all the chemtrail spraying in your things, like the Ottawa 9/11 truth and that. You use it. I think that's really important. Your videos are just so excellent. I do encourage people, go to my website, and I have it up there. And where else, Tyrone, can you find your, I guess, go to YouTube, put in Ottawa 9/11 Truth?
Yeah, or just look up my profile, Ottawa Fro, one word.
Ottawa, say again?
Ottawa Fro, like Ottawa Afro, but one word, one A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my profile on YouTube. You can also check out all of our videos. Because I only started taking over after one of the people that actually I first started that with, Victor. He had to do more responsibility at home. So I just realized, you know, our videos were such a positive thing. Because, again, people's attention spans only like 5 minutes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, make it entertaining. That's one of the things that you can do about 9/11 Truth. Get it out there, make it sort of mainstream, get people on YouTube. So I decided to continue that and learn how to do it. You look on my Ottawa Pro profile, look at my first video, because I did a video about Alex Jones' Chronicle of Truth Rising. It was a contest. That was my first video, and I encourage everybody to watch that. It tells a great story about the 9/11 Truth movement, the first responders, and some of the holes in the official story, and basically about the 9/11 Truth movement. But yeah, I just learned so much through doing this, and yeah, I have a collection of DVDs, not DVDs, yeah, like documentaries, and if I could just, you know, bring out some of the things that I've seen, you know, again, because there's so much out there, so much that I've downloaded, that, you know, all the movies out there that people have not seen. You can just take bits and pieces of that, put it on YouTube, and I think that's the new way to get people, is just to, you know, like 3-minute commercials or something like that, you know, just to wake them up.
Yeah.
Maybe you should, Tyrone, maybe you should have some dancing on them.
Well, I am quite a dancer, so maybe I'll do that.
It would be...
I just encourage people to, you know, if you do know of a good movie that you think people would watch, even though it's out of the mainstream, just tell your friends about it, tell your family, post it on your Facebook profile. Just try to get the information out there, because, you know, we're getting at a point where it's getting to, like, almost 0 hour, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really important, like the economy is collapsing, which again is on purpose. The bailouts in the States, the bankers are basically stolen all that money.
Yeah.
We're going to need more bailouts. Obama was the architect of the bailouts, by the way.
Yeah.
He's basically a puppet of the financier, Szczesinski. And really, it's now or never, basically.
Yeah.
And again...
You know, it's interesting. I want to interject here, Tyrone. You know, as a member of CAP, what I would recommend CAP in Canada, that if there is to be like a deficit in the government budget, which they're predicting, I think, $40 to $50 billion over the next year, I would, like, as in CAP, what we would do is we would borrow all that money from the Bank of Canada at 0% interest, instead of borrowing it and colluding with the banksters and paying them the compound interest to impoverish the people of Canada. What you would simply do is print the money through the Bank of Canada in the development of the infrastructure, and you would not give the banksters billions more of Canadian tax dollars to impoverish us for the next 10 years.
And I really like Canadian Action Party. That's another party, because, again, you don't get a lot of media out on the internet about, you know, Canada stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Canadian Action Party has been a great resource to waking me up to the banking situation up here in Canada. The SCT is another thing that we got to be aware of.
Yeah.
And, again, they're doing these integrations with the SCT every day. You know, they have meetings. You know, they're planning this every day. Why do we only stand up for against the SCT once a year, when these meetings are going on every day, like the integration and stuff like that?
Yeah.
And that's another thing, like, I couldn't grasp with the anti-war movement. I tried to have 2 protests during the last year about the SCP. It wasn't too many people showed up, because what I realized is if you're informed, well, you don't want to waste your Saturday going out to the rally and stuff like that. But they just, it's just really ridiculous that this stuff is going on daily and we only see stuff like once a year. Even with 9/11, you should do stuff more than once a month, stuff like that, you know. Kill this why, and so, because every day people are dying, like with Gaza and stuff like that, false flag, you know. They said Gaza broke the ceasefire, but is it in reality Israel? Russia, Georgia. Russia didn't invade Georgia. Georgia sneak attacked them.
Yeah, and again, it was American and Israeli operatives were involved in supporting of their new puppet guy there, that they're trying to bring Georgia over into their onto their side and have it controlled by the same people, the Zionist and American influences. Yeah, it's terrible. I'm glad Putin stood up to them.
Yeah,
and that's how I. Yeah, and again, we were completely, it was all spun and distorted in our media, made Russia like to appear to be the bad guy, kind of. And then the Mumbai thing where they kind of staged some to try to get India, to engage India and Pakistan in nuclear exchanges, you know, like, these people are doing
when
these
you are
things.
Away, it's pretty comical, the day-to-day media that we get.
It is.
Just lies everywhere, and when you can spot it, you really do. It's actually very empowering to be woken up.
It is. It's wonderful in a way. It's scary at times, but it's illuminating.
And that's why I never mind going confronting these politicians that lie, but I can call them on their lies, and they know this, you know?
Yeah.
With the afro, so they start to recognize me now. But, again, anybody, we should all hold these... you know, our government officials accountable. Right now, we have a media that discards what they tell us or what they tell them. They never ask any, rebuting questions, you know, about the important questions. They just sort of, this is what you want to tell us to say? Okay, let's go along with your story.
Yeah, so, I think the epitome of that was like how I was, when they had the meeting of the three banditos, Calderon, Bush, and Harper, Montebello, and Harper comes out and he said, oh yeah, we talked about like jelly beans and sorting jelly beans, like what the, excuse me, like, you know, you're deliberately not telling the Canadian people about what you're doing. This is supposed to be a democratic kind of country, and you're putting us into the FPP, you're hiding it through the media, you have all these secret meetings going on where these corporate elites get to do their devious things, and you come out and you talk about sorting jelly beans? What kind of an idiot are you?
And what people got to realize is, you know, we all have this idea of Canada, great country, melting pot of cultures, and, you know, peace-loving, but what we... Canada that's here right now, where you put corporations at the head of the table, that you have a foreign policy that's out of control, it's kind of, you know, fascism, I'm sorry, you know?
Yeah.
And call it by what it is, let's just be honest with it, because if you don't call a horse a horse, you're just going to be, keep living a lie every day, and then, you know, you're part of the lie, you're complicit in the lie if you know other stuff is going on. And you just got to be true to yourself, and again, what I also find about the Nylon Truth Movement is a bunch of nice guys, people that just want to do the right thing.
Yeah, that's what I found. They had heart. Like, these are people who make some time, make some effort to do something. Like, why aren't the people in the churches, like, talking about this? Why aren't people in the synagogues and the mosques, you know? Bring the truth out. Like, people have to wake up and connect the dots. It's staring us in our faces.
And everything that we do comes out of our own pockets. None of us are rich.
You guys give hundreds of DVDs out. You put so much time into it and your own monies to buy it. No one ever donates anything to you.
Oh, we did get 300 DVDs dropped off one month by somebody anonymous, which was
nice people.
But, yeah, nobody pays me to, you know, work 2-3 days after my own 8-hour shift on these videos. We do it because, you know, we're all a bunch of nice guys, and we just can't, you know, do nothing anymore. We have to get involved, and the 11th of the month is the one thing that we can do. And we're trying to do more, actually we might do some canal blogging in February during Winterlude, just hanging signs over the bridges and whatnot, and try to wake up some people there. Again, you never know what's going to happen when you wake up a new mind or what that person's going to do.
That's right, yeah.
You know who I woke up at my old job, or at my job now, who used to work with me? Mike St. Ange. And I woke him up about 9/11 and the FPP and all this stuff, and then he turned out to run for the Canadian Action Party. So you really never know what people are going to do when they're woken up. And
how it could spread, like start reaching a mass consciousness level.
Exactly.
And yeah, so, where all of a sudden people start realizing, like, they're pissed off at all our lying TV shows and radio talk shows and all these stupid little people they bring out as authorities on Al-Qaeda terrorism and such, all the lying little people they bring out who feed the propaganda, you know. You just start seeing through this. People start going to get, you know, mad at the media. Like, what are you jerks doing, you know? How could you do this to our country, to our troops? And you say you support the troops. Give me a break. It's like Henry Kissinger describes the soldiers as dumb, stupid animals. I think that's a quote from Kissinger.
It's something, you know, like that. The elite look at it like cattle, and people that
exactly
are acting like that. Yeah. They're going to wake up. They think we're such the stupidest piece of crap in the world. That's why they think of the 9/11 Commission, the NIST report, which is, again, when you look at this stuff, it's childish. Again, a six-year-old, if they just looked at it, could figure out 9/11. There's something up with that. And
yeah,
people are just spellbound by our media, by our government. They're used to getting the truth from these people. Hey, it's worked for them for the last 30, 40 years. Why should it be any different now? But that's why it's important for people like you, people like me, to get out there and make our presence known so people know, wait a second, why are these guys out on, you know, 6 o'clock on their own time with these 9/11 Truth t-shirts? Maybe there is something to this. So, you know, just hand out a DVD. Who knows if they watch it? Who knows if they, but, you know, from that day forth, they're not believing that lie. And anybody can do this. Look at the We Are Change chapters, again, that are waking up to this. We Are Change started by Luke Rudowski in New York, and basically, you know, stand up to our media, to our politicians, hold them accountable, and let's be the new media. Let's get the truth out there, put it on YouTube, and let's just make the masses aware.
And also, you know, I think it's really important, like, we need to appeal to our policemen to kind of do their jobs, and we need to appeal to our soldiers, and we need them, like, your oaths are, you know, to protect the population against threats, like foreign and domestic. Like, we even, and we're not being protected against the people within our own society who are doing these things to us. We're not being protected. And I hope that the police, like, start seeing this and not be part of this and start turning things around. I mean, I think most RCMP, I always grew up, I loved the RCMP, kind of. Like, I was always proud of them as Canadian, and I loved the musical ride, and I had this respect for the RCMP, you know? And then now look what's happened to it, you know? They're not protecting us from domestic terrorist threats and activities. They're not. And they're being part of this complete false charade of what has happened.
Look at their involvement with the Toronto 18, how they set them up.
Yeah, they set them up. It's all lies, and they use millions of taxpayers' money to set up this thing up, and then they charge all these poor kids and men, and it's terrible. And then they got to have secret trials, because if they didn't have secret trials, they'd be arrested.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we got to wake up to the fact that even though it's 2009 now, it's 1984. And, you know, war is not peace, ignorance is not strength. So I'm just hoping, you know, through, like, the different 9/11 Truth chapters, the different We Are Change chapters, that, you know, you get a movement going. Just want to encourage people. Again, you know, I really do think more people are aware about 9/11 than, you know, other people think. It's just that nobody talks to each other. They're not confident that, you know, if they say 9/11 is such a job, they're not going to get the whole 9/11 taboo that you're a conspiracy theorist in order to change all hats, which I get daily, but I don't give a fuck anymore.
You know, one thing, Tyrone, is that for people to do that, they have to be brave. They have to have a certain courage to do it, like to face the truth. And people, they're sheeple. They hide from it. They're afraid of it. I can't believe that. And they're dismissive of it. They live in fearfulness. Whereas to learn the truth, you have to have courage in a certain way. And the word courage actually comes from French. La cour stands for heart. So courage means having a new heart. And that's why it's how I see people in the truth movement. in a way. You, Tyrone, and I see it in Mark, and I see it in other people I meet as part of the movement. You have something in your heart and soul that enables you to put your life and at risk, and you try to bring out truth, and you do it. No, it's not for something for yourself. You know, you put your own monies and times into it, and at times it's threatening. But you do it to bring forth truth. And that's what it takes. We need more and more people in our society to begin to have courage and face what's happened in our society and what's being done now. And we need people to have courage to do that, a new heart, and wake up in your heart. See what did it can. I look at these pictures of what's been done to these people of Gaza and the kids and the phosphorus weapons and lining families and people up and their murders and the man losing his three daughters and girls paralyzed for life and what's been done to that country. These are war crimes. And I've never felt as disgusted as of being a Canadian as when last week at the UN, Canada was the lone nation to vote against the UN resolution to condemn Israel for war crimes. Canada stood against that. My God, what's become of us as Canadians? You know,
Our government is, and this is what I've learned, because again, you get a lot of the information from like the U.S., and that's because the U.S. Will have the most toxic foreign policy. They're most involved in this, the war crimes and the military industrial complex. But you see, basically, our government's no different.
No.
And it's something that not a lot of people know. Over the next 20 years, hey, we're facing. Well, right now we're having a financial crisis. But do you know that over the next 20 years, we're going to be spending something like $500 billion on our military?
Yeah, I mean, Harper just proposed $700 million to buy armored vehicles for the Canadian forces to be used in Canada. Oh, that's nice. Collect some people up in Canada. We need all these $700 billion at a time when our economy is faulting and we're going more and more deficit. And what do they need all these vehicles on in Canada? See, these people are crazy. They want to make money through death and destruction.
And another thing, like with the whole coalition thing that just happened right now, you know, Harper suspended Parliament. But who did he have to get permission to suspend Parliament from? Governor General, who is the Queen's honorary, representative. So right there, it was just like a little glimpse of the Canadian people got to see that where the real power is. It's not in the Canadian Parliament. It's over there in England, in the royalty, with the Queen. So I just found that pretty interesting, because even I didn't fully know what the Governor General really did. He's somebody that goes out in ceremonies before to me. And I've heard this before, that you were up in the Crown, but this is where we first really saw it in a long time, is that the power in Canada does not reside in the Parliament. It resides with the Queen. Anytime that she wants to do shit, the Governor General has that power.
She seems honorary. It's really complex, and it's hard to know all the controls. I tend to see it more as like the Zionists controlling the Canadian government. I mean, why would the Prime Minister of Canada come out and say that he supports Israeli war crimes? I mean, that's what he did. He supports Israel for their war crimes. That's what he did. So, I mean, I thought people who supported terrorists are terrorists, kind of.
Well, that's not Zionist control of Canada. That's just that Canada, North America, and the West have generally supported Israel, period.
Yes, they have.
They created it. So, I mean, they want to be consistent. I mean, the other side of it, too, as I said to that email a couple of weeks ago, Chris, is that the other side of it is in Gaza. I mean, I'm completely horrified and disgusted by what's happening in Gaza. But the other side of it, too, is that, Hamas does fire rockets in and murder people on a random basis. And, it takes two to tango in that country. And the problem is that people keep thinking that if you kill enough of the other guys, that it's going to lead to, a solution. Well, it's not going to lead to a solution at all. It's just going to keep it going. There's going to be more.
Yeah, I don't justify the violence on both sides.
More depravity
has to stop.
More depravity from all people. It's like it just. I find the whole thing kind of just testament to the
delusional
psyche myself. I just see it as like, you know.
And then you look at the history of it and who set up Hamas, Israel.
Exactly. As a
kind of PLO. Just more lies in there. And then Israel sets up these things to fund kind of Arab things against Israelis. They sacrifice their own people to play it through the media and brainwash their own people
Israel,
in Israeli
Israel,
society.
Israel created Hamas?
Yeah.
That's right.
Please.
They did.
No,
it's a historic record.
Israel created...
It's a conspiracy theorist, but hey, that's fact. Israel
to oppose Arafat and Fatah.
They didn't create them.
Well, they helped fund it and get it going.
Oh, yeah, but that's just completely different from saying they created them. That's the oldest trick in the book, is play both ends against the middle.
Well, that's what they do.
Yeah, but that's because there are organizations that there have consistently been Arab organizations which don't recognize Israel's right to exist and want to drive the Jews into the sea, to quote Nasser. I mean, you know, the only country that's really come to an accommodation with Israel is Egypt in the last 50 years, you know, 60 years.
Let me tell you this about Israel. Right now, they have technology that can stop all those rockets coming in. They have laser-guided weapons that can basically target any rocket coming in and destroy it. And
well, I don't
why
believe
they're
that.
Letting these things come in?
I don't believe that.
It's because, pardon me?
Yeah. That's just usual military bullshit. That we got these precise weapons. Yeah, they're so precise that they'll take over two city blocks. I mean, I don't believe that. Not
the
for a minute.
Thing, that's bullshit. Until you see this stuff, and I can send you a couple of videos that will show you this stuff. Then yes, it's going to be bullshit to you. But it is fact that Israel can stop these rockets. It's another fact that Israel, during the last war with Lebanon, those Israeli troops were not captured in Israel, that Lebanon took, or that Hamas, Hezbollah.
Hezbollah.
Yeah, I heard that.
They
also
were captured in Lebanon, those Israeli people. Okay,
yeah,
I just found that.
I saw it as kind of another false flag thing, like they create it. They create it. They just do it, set it up.
They also started planning this mission, and again, I can't remember all the acronyms of their plans, but they started planning this like 6 months ago. Again, there's information about this out there. All you gotta know is who to look up on the internet, and there's somebody that's posted a video about all this stuff. There are researchers that have looked at this stuff. And, you know, there's also another thing is, justifiable, you know, retaliation. Couple rockets versus white phosphorus, that's bleeding uranium, blowing up mosques, universities, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, those were other things that where they blew up the mosques there. Some of those were done, again, by these deviants and weren't.
Yeah
we're blamed on Muslims.
The tunnels going on, you know, the smuggling of supplies through the tunnels. That is still, like, there's still supplies going through the tunnels today. So what was this whole campaign about? You got to ask the real questions. We can't say that that's bullshit. I don't believe that. Hey, if I tell you something, you think it's crazy. Hey, put it aside. Look at it later. Okay, you told me it's crazy. I'm gonna see if I can find any facts to verify this, and then do your own research. And again, the 9/11 truth thing—that's a hard pill to swallow too. So is the fact that, you know, these are other circumstances, like, well, with the Holocaust there. You know, there's a lot of Jewish people that died that day. But there's been numerous other Holocausts. More people died in Russia. More people died in China. But, you know, the whole thing about Israel is that the Holocaust happened. The Holocaust did happen, but there's been other Holocausts in the world. And, you know, we just got to put all this in perspective as well.
Yeah, and these people who tout out the Holocaust all the time are usually those involved in committing the other Holocaust. You know, it's like, oh, they're never going to forget. No, yeah, they didn't. And now they're trying to, like, mass murder other people so that, you know, that, I mean, they're committing exactly what they're saying, Holocaust against other people. I mean, the people of Palestine, they're enslaved. They have a prison camp.
Yeah, well, it's hard not to think, you know, about the comparisons between the Warsaw Ghetto and Gaza.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
It really is. I mean, that's my gut reaction to it. Is like, you know. It's ironic, eh? That, I mean,
it's so ironic.
It's also, like, I mean, you know, terminology is peculiar because, you know, the word terrorist, you know, people trot that out all the time to scare people. And as I said before, like, if you read, I think it was Hugh Trevor Roper on the European witchcraft movement, you know, the great British historian. If you substitute the word terrorist for witch, it's essentially the same thing, as that you want to scare people all the time, you know, and get them to act irrationally. But, I mean, the word terrorist...
Like in the 1984.
The word terrorist is so loaded, too, because, I mean, essentially, you know, that if you apply that, like, the irony about terrorism in Israel was that, you know, Menachem Begin blew up the King David Hotel. He's part of a terrorist organization, you know, when he founded Palestine. George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and the founding fathers of the United States of America were terrorists by the current definition, you know? I mean, they were. They were trying to overthrow the government by force, you know? Well, that's a terrorist, right? So, I mean, you got to be one man's the old joke about
on both sides.
One man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter, you know? I guess ultimately to me it's like the justification that you're going to improve the quality of somebody's life by murdering somebody else is just a false argument, you know. Like, I'm sorry, I, you know, if that makes me a pacifist, so be it. I'm a pacifist, you know. I just don't believe in any of it, you know. I believe in killing. I believe when you kill people like that, it's just a failure of imagination and a failure of a willingness to make really hard choices, you know. In a way, like killing people is an easy choice for governments. You know, you just send a bunch of guys out there to die. What did Kissinger call them? Stupid, you know. Stupid dumb animals out to die. Yeah. You'll notice that I could bring
I could bring
peace to the world tomorrow. Just pass one law. The only people that get to fight in wars are rich, fat, white guys, you know? I guarantee you there'd be an outbreak of peace like you've never seen before, you know?
If you sign the Declaration to go to war, you have to be on the front line.
Exactly. Let's see these guys duke it out, you know? These leaders. Like, send that fat jerk Harper to Afghanistan if he wants to, you know, fight for freedom. And you don't see him battling anybody.
But to deceive the Canadian public, like, I mean, just think of what's been done. That's horrible.
Well,
you know, I mean, the Canadian public supports the military. We all do. We need the military as a nation, and we want to support our troops. But we want our military to have some integrity, you know,
and to have allowed
this to happen and to be fighting for something which turns out, oh, it wasn't. You mean it wasn't Osama bin Laden and his reindeer over there? It wasn't the whole time. It was a lie, and it was people who concocted this.
No.
Why doesn't anyone want to catch the people who did it? Like, you know,
the opium for the resource in the Caspian Sea. With the opium, they basically filter all that money through the banking system. So again, you know, with the banking system right now, you deposit $10, they can trade $9 out of nothing. Imagine all that drug money that was actually the opium before 9/11. They actually got rid of all of that. So the banking, remember Wall Street was hit? And that's because of all the opium money that was not there. Since U.S. has gone into Afghanistan, the opium trade has gone booming. It's at the highest level it's been in God knows how long.
Yeah. These people are the ones who run the drug trade and make millions and billions of money through that.
Solomon Bones got started.
Say again?
Solomon Bones was financed by...
drug money goes back to the opium wars, and the elites have through human history made their fortunes often through drug monies.
Even to today, CIA brings in the most coke to the U.S. Mena, Arkansas. That was one of the first documentaries I watched about Bill Clinton.
The Clinton Chronicles, a very good movie. Where he used to bring in $140 million of cocaine to the Mena, Arkansas airport under Bush, when the President Bush and the first one, and he was all part of that. I mean, these guys like cocaine, and, you know, I think Bush now has turned more to alcohol, I think, and other things, you know.
He likes money.
Well, I mean,
he's a reformed alcoholic and cokehead, but
is it?
But good. By the way, that book I was mentioning earlier is by a guy named John Kellen. It's called Praise from a Future Generation, and the subtitle is The Assassination of John F. Kennedy and the First Generation Critics of the Warren Report. And just on a blurb on the back, it says, Kellen's arduous research enables the reader to eavesdrop on a tiny, intense community of earnest citizens in their self-motivated task of hunting for historical truth.
That's what the internet is doing,
exactly.
And the truth movement is doing.
It's
hunting for historical. We've been told all these lies for so many years, and now 9/11 was that pivotal event which kind of like wakes you up to the whole corrupted system.
That's how I got started.
9/11.
That's why, again, I believe in 9/11 truth. It woke me up, and I was shocked at how much I did not know. You know, just in history.
Me too.
And even now, I watch stuff all the time. I try to learn stuff every day. But every answer that I get, 10 questions from that answer, you know. So
it's an amazing process being like, I feel illuminated over and over and over again by different things I learn and such. It's fun.
I find
at times it fills me with kind of knowledge and bliss almost.
It's funny because I have a very different reaction from that and from you guys, you know. Like, I mean, I would say for me that, going back to, I mean, I read a lot of history, so none of this really surprises me in a sense.
Yeah.
Because, as I say, I know about the Vietnam War. I mean, I know about the Kennedy assassination. I mean, I've studied these things for years. And so when 9/11 happened, I mean, in a way, like, I was really skeptical at first of, the claims, oh, it was an inside job, the CIA went behind it, blah, 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 you know, usual. You know, somebody's always got an alternate explanation of things. I mean, that's the other side of any historical explanation. Somebody's always got another explanation. But
all of them have them.
even I, though, you know, there's no more cynical or skeptical person about politics than me. I was completely stunned when I started reading when I read David Ray Griffin's book, you know, in the New Pearl Harbor. I read it basically because I knew his academic work and I really respected his, you know, his theological and philosophical books. I thought this guy, wow, David Ray Griffin's got a book on 9/11. That's weird. And then I started reading it, and that's what really sort of opened my eyes to the...
And it's just those random things, like GNN. I'd heard of them through one of my ex-girlfriends. I'm like, okay, I'll look at this. Because I thought I knew all the truth about 9/11 through Michael Moore. And I think that's another thing that threw a lot of people off, because, you know, we all mainstream people think of him as just a big documentary person.
Yeah, they like to play him up more.
Yeah, and that's why, there's a whole field of left gatekeepers. What's that guy, Chomsky?
Another shill or whatever.
Yeah, and I'm just lucky, like your friend there, that I gave this a chance, and I looked at him, and I was shocked. Again, I was like, wait a second, this all makes freaking sense. And then from there, I looked up Alex Jones, and once you do that he wakes you up to a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, and see the extensiveness of it. Like, he has an amazing show. I'm so thankful to Alex Jones for his brave work and how he's such an able researcher who kind of reads so widely. And you see him growing in his work. I see him growing in his work. Sometimes he's so funny. He's so funny, and it's so moving listening to his show sometimes, his songs. And it's really quite something, an experience to listen to. PrisonPlanet.com is a...
Yeah, I think people should listen to that every day. Not necessarily like Alex Jones, but, you know, the guests he brings on. He brings on different people every day that are, you know, illuminate you about a different area. Like, chemtrails, I had no idea when I first started listening to, like, Alex, but then he brought on somebody. And again, they all go through their expertise. There are people like kids out there, but they've never had, the podium to speak on, to gain that voice. So, you know, and that's basically how I got into this stuff, and through downloading too. Again, with the internet, you can always download these files. Everything these days is on YouTube, Google. So turn off your TV, live view, go on the internet, get the real truth.
Yeah, make the effort. You know, I was mentioning earlier about like going around my life and like interacting with people, and I interacted with one woman in a food liner, and she was behind the counter, kind of at the deli part. And I somehow got into how outraged I felt as a, you know, father of a Canadian soldier that our military and the public have been so deceived about 9/11. And she knew it was true. and I was telling her about other things, the chemtrails and the aspartame, and she was saying, she said, you know, we didn't have enough time. We didn't make the effort. We didn't find the time, you know, in our lives. Like, that's what's happened to us as people. We didn't care enough. We didn't care enough for what's happening in the world, for the people of Gaza, for these people who are murdered and all the deceptions. We didn't care enough. I thought that was very profound when she saw that. I could see her remorse of conscience. In Gurdjieff's teaching about, like, mystically awakening and the awakening of the heart, a first step in that is the awakening of human conscience. And Gurdjieff says, like, we all have an inherent knowledge of what is good and evil within our own hearts. So we have to experience the remorse of conscience. And you wake up and you have remorse for all how asleep I've been and how could we have let these things happen in our society. We have to go through that. It's quite traumatizing. It was for me, waking up to 9/11 truth and then uncovering more and more of the deviancy and waking up to the kind of history of, you know, the last century or so, what's happened in Western civilization. I mean, it's really quite shocking. And then to go outside, now they're spraying me in the air, and they're putting poisons in my food, and I don't know what's genetically modified now anymore. And it's just all so deviant. Oh, and now we need global warming, so we need carbon taxes. Oh, and we need to give bailouts of billions to the bankers and fund all the bankers, have a new world order with Henry Kissinger. You know, how insane.
Like, what's the fight next? Again, the whole global warming thing. Hey, it's not getting warmer because of carbon. It's getting warmer because the sun's getting more intense. And the whole IPCC thing, like the panel, these 2,500 scientists, half those scientists don't even know they're on the paper. And if they know they're on the paper, it's such a process to get off of that that it's almost not even worth to do it. So it's through their names on there. So the science isn't sold on global warming. No,
there were 22,000 scientists who signed the thing disputing it.
Yeah. Yes. That is again being parroted in the mainstream media, so people are largely unaware of it. We should not be taxing the carbon cycle. We should not be paying a carbon tax, which is going directly to the IMF, the World Bank, to give us the whole one world government that they're trying to...
Yeah, and so Canada sold off, and Canadian people sleep through the whole thing. All of a sudden, sorry, you're now part of Henry Kissinger's new world order.
Yeah,
here's your chip. Here's your chip. We can turn it off. You know, it's so insane. We got taken over by a group of insane people.
Yeah, and without a bowling beat fire, just throwing pieces of paper away. And there goes Canada, there goes our sovereignty, there goes our democratic process. So,
and all the Canadian-American men, we all go out and root and cheer at hockey games and football games and they're big heroes.
Yeah. Oh,
come home, take Viagra.
Yeah, I used to love sports then. And every Sunday.
That's our antidepressants.
But, I had to take a step away from that just because... Hey, the games are still going to happen. Even if I don't watch, I can always catch the scores. But there's more important things to do than watching all this brainless stuff like Dancing with the Stars, football, basketball, even hockey. There's 82 games. Wait till the playoffs to get into it. We've stopped being as a people that care about our government, what they're doing day to day with these still C-51, C-52. Like, geez, you really have to make this your full-time job to keep up with it. And that's why they're so successful with it, because we're kept on a treadmill. We work so hard, you know, just within our, at our job, just to pay the bills. We barely have any time.
Yeah, that's what I find in my life. It's kind of like myself. I've fallen into kind of semi-poverty. I have no income, but I can't go back to normal life. How can I go back to normal life? I don't know what to do anymore. I just do what I can and try to be part of this movement. I'd rather live in poverty and have courage and try to face the beast than to lose my soul. That's how I feel in my life. I mean, I struggle to try to help as much as I can. I don't know what else is important for us. I mean, I see it's for my children. It's for our grandchildren. It's for the people of Gaza. It's for the Israelis. It's for the Jews. It's for the Muslims. It's for the Christians. You know, we have to reawaken the Christian church. Like, well, holy smokes, Christians are so asleep. They're sheep being led to slaughter and deceived by their own churches. You know, it's so astonishing to me. I can't believe it, you know. The whole of life, you wake up and you realize the world is run by a group of insane psychopaths. Satanists, perverts, Luciferians, you know, elites who don't care. Their greed is unspeakable. They would impoverish millions just to own and control and have their greed dominate the world. They have no heart. You see, they have no heart for other living beings, living creatures. They don't have compassion. And they're a degenerate type. They're old world. Henry Kissinger's New World Order is not New World, it's old world. It's an order of tyranny, domination, perversion, violence, cruelty, mass murder. That's what it is. That's what his New World Order is. There could be a new world order, but a real new world order where truth comes out and nations overcome the insanity of their ways. And we live as a humankind on the planet like sane, intelligent people. The problems of humanity could be solved so easily if we used all the new inventions and ideas. We could have a whole new age on planet Earth. And we're at that precipice. We could turn one way and we can have an insane world of psychopaths, new world order of Henry Kissinger, world order of death and violence and prison camps and all these things. Or we can have a new age where we deal with these issues in our society and take back our societies and restore the rule of law in our countries. Restore the Constitution, restore the Canadian, you know, people's legal rights and such. You know, we have to reestablish truth or else we're headed into a nightmare Orwellian world. And that's essential to this whole thing is the truth movement. And I see we're coming down to the end of our time. Tyrone, thank you so much for staying with us the whole time and really being part of this. I think it was an excellent show. Tyrone? Oh. Jim?
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, I guess we lost Tyrone. Anyway.
Tyrone.
Okay, I think we have a few minutes left. I forgot to set my clock, so I think maybe we have 5 minutes. I'm not sure. Maybe we can just sum up.
I think we got 8, but it's 5:52, I think.
Okay.
According to my computer, my watch is running strange.
Okay, so anyway, that was pretty heavy. We live in a pretty weirded out world.
I agree with a lot of things you say. I mean, I don't think it's really any weirder than it's ever been. I mean, it changes, the details change, but I think that, you know, that people, there's always been a group of people, groups of people.
Will there always be? That's the question now.
There will always be.
Can never have a new age because that's been the history. And they have such advanced weapons now and they have such devious means of homicide, genocide and such that humankind is at a critical period, I think, in human history. And I believe between now and 2012, it's going to turn one way or the other. That's how I view it. That's the kind of reality I live. We'll either have a new world order of criminal psychopaths, we'll have a new age of mystical awakening around the world.
I think that's a false, you know, it's an either or. I don't think that's true at all. I don't. There's nothing special about 2012. Maybe there is. I mean, I could be completely wrong, but I just don't see any reason to believe that 2012 has got any special significance. I mean,
yeah.
I just think like there are patterns, there are courses that are going on here, and there are forces that are really, you know, very powerful forces, and the manifestations, these are awful, the dark forces. But, I mean, in a way, like, it's very difficult to... There's a really good quote in Search of the Miraculous where Gurdjieff talks about this, about the crossroads in life, and he says, you know, it's really impossible to tell, like, how things are unfolding and where these crossroads even are. Perhaps they've even passed us by and we don't know that. But, like, you know, there are turns in history, and there are things that happen which do, you know, deflect the course one way or the other. But, I mean, like I say, I mean, I can't live my life in those terms. I mean, I just can't go around thinking about the gloom and the doom. I mean, I see it in a historical context.
Well, it's not only just gloom and doom. It's just, I mean, there's also hope. Like, there's still rays of hope. Like,
yeah, but I don't have hope either. I mean, you know, I mean, in a way, like, I don't, you know, like I say, I think it's like, you know, you just try to feed the positive things. You try to do what you can. And in the big picture of things, you know, who knows how it's going to turn out? I mean, maybe there's hope, maybe there isn't. You know, maybe there's doom, maybe there isn't. Maybe there's,
yeah.
You know.
Well, that's why we do what we do. I mean, yes. That's why we're here talking, is because we're trying to help wake people up. We're trying to contribute in some way to, like, you know, people
but
need
the,
to.
But the danger of all that is, in a sense, is that, like, there's a lot of things that you say. Like, I just don't agree with those things at all in terms of, like, your interpretations of things.
No,
you're
we
saying,
have very different views.
Yeah,
we
you're saying just, this and that, and I'm saying, I think you're, like, way too sure about all of these things being conspiracies and being intentionally done. I just see it more.
And
like,
I think that you haven't watched enough on the internet and seen all these documentaries that pulled it together to show the patterns of it all.
It's just another tool, though, Chris. It's like, you know, like, you haven't read enough history. That's what I'd say to you. Like, I mean, that's the other side of it. It's like, just because somebody says something on the internet doesn't make it true. You know, it's just like the media. Who knows how many sources of disinformation there are on the internet about things.
Well, there is too. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a
you have to be discerning.
Yeah. And that's why I say, like,
we must be coming down to. I'll give you one last comment, then, Jim, and then I'll need to bring it to a close.
He not busy being born is busy dying.
That Bob Dylan. What's that from?
It's All Right, Ma.
It's All Right, Ma.
Yeah. So I'm just trying.
I'm only bleeding.
I'm trying to be busy being born so that then I can die.
Boy, Dylan's masterpiece song, Masters of War. It's funny how sometimes poets just express things so simply. And, you know, I wake up to it 50 years after. I had no really concept of how it all kind of held together. And then you begin to see it, and it's shocking to me.
I wish that,
you know,
I wish
as a human
that,
being. You know.
I wish that he could use his influencer. You know, he's kind of strange that way. But I wish he would release his live version of that he's been doing the last few years and put it out as a single, because it's extraordinary. It's way better than his original version of it. I mean, it's so powerful when he sings this.
Well,
it's just
and Pearl Jam does it great.
Pearl
There's
Jam
the links that from my site. Eddie Vedder.
Yeah, that was at the tribute to Bob Dylan, the 30th anniversary.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
Yeah, that's an amazing version of it.
I have that up as one of my music favorites on my site. My site is
at
www.zeropoint.ca. I'd like to thank Don and Doug and BBS Radio. Way to go, you guys, for your contributions to what we're trying to bring about through the world.
Yeah.
A real awakening of humankind and people learning the truth and being inspired and waking up and dealing with these problems in our nations. I do have a donate button at the BBS website. I do appreciate any donations just to support me in the work I do try to do. And my books are really most interesting books. I have 6 books, and they're interesting insights into the mysteries. This has been Christopher Holmes and Zero Point Radio. Thank you.